Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Thousands of people gathered in downtown Portland yesterday, attending several pro-Trump and anti-Trump demonstrations and rallies. In an attempt to avoid violence by keeping opposing demonstrators from converging, the Portland Police Department was joined by law enforcement officers from numerous local, state, and federal agencies, including the officers from the Department of Homeland Security. While the rallies and concurrent protests were largely peaceful, police made 14 arrests and briefly detained hundreds of people who were photographed and required to present ID before getting released. Several reporters were also detained and photographed. Margaret Jacobson, a local activist, writer, and photographer, was there reporting on the demonstrations via social media. Margaret was also one of the organizers of the Portland Women's March in January. Margaret Jacobson, thanks very much for coming into KABU this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Margaret, first, what was your role at the rallies and protests in downtown Portland yesterday?
I had a support station where people could come and check in and get the jail support phone number. They could get a handout that gives them kind of a breakdown about how jail support works. There were jail support forms, there were snacks, there was water. We had cases and cases of water that people were able to take into the actual protest. And then we were also attached to like a medic tent. And then we had a sitting area. So I just organized this area where I wanted people to be able to leave the protest if needed, because a lot of people were very new to protesting. Right. And if they got overwhelmed, they could just come and have like a timeout. And also if things got out of hand, we had people at the ready to take care of that.
Margaret, was that for both sides of the protest? I know there were several groups involved, but there was basically the pro-Trump and kind of the anti-Trump.
Yeah, it was definitely for the anti-Trump people, but we kind of had made this agreement earlier. If someone was to come over and needed help from medics, and they were from the Trump side, that we would treat them. And if someone was really uncomfortable, they didn't have to, but to pass it on to somebody else.
Did anybody take you up on that from the pro-Trump side?
No, not at all.
Well, the police also were separating the two groups.
They kept them separate, yes.
As much as possible.
Yes.
Actually, the whole of NATO Parkway was kind of the no man's land there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were active on social media during the event?
Yeah, I tried to do some live video while I was there and just kind of keep people updated. I know a lot of people were kind of in a panic and feeling really nervous just with, I guess, the climate that we're in currently in our city and just the reality of dealing with people who identify as white supremacists and the threat that it poses, not only to people of color, but then also to white allies. And so I think that people felt really anxious. And this was my way of being like, you know, this is what's going on. So they could feel like they were also there, but far enough away.
So you weren't just confined to the tent area where you were giving legal
I was
medical
confined
support.
Over there.
Oh, okay.
I stayed on that side, which was, so we were in Lounsdale Square, which was across from wherever the other protest was like happening. So we were divided by a street and then at the end of that square, so that if people came over, there was enough space between them where they could get a break from what was happening. And we had people kind of patrolling for us, like to make sure that we stayed safe and kind of giving us updates on what was taking place with the protest. And we could hear a lot of things and there were live streams happening that we were able to check in on.
And were some of the live streaming you were doing, of course, some of the things you were witnessing and the stories you heard in the support tent, did that differ from some of the official media accounts?
Yeah, it was extremely different. And it was that thing of, I usually try to avoid protests like this just because I'm a parent and I don't trust the police here. But it was interesting to see it play out the way it's continually played out and what I've read about when I have watched live streams or I see other organizers posting about their experience, and the way that it just like happened and turned in an instance was really intimidating and scary. This idea of the people that are there to serve and protect you then turned around and attacked people who were just showing up to show solidarity for our city and our community.
Now, there were a lot of conflicting reports about that. Mm-hmm. I was not there, but I've talked to several KABU reporters who were there. They did not see a lot of evidence of projectiles being thrown at the police.
Yeah.
And they thought that the police seemed to initiate a lot of the violence through flashbangs, tear gas.
Yes.
I think there were water cannons at one point. Did you see some of that?
I heard the flashbangs, and that's the thing. It came out of nowhere. And then just people started running, and then suddenly people were in the medic tent who were like, oh my gosh, I got tear gas, you know, and people's eyes were just like watering and so red, and people are sobbing. And it felt like it happened in an instance. And one of the things I had heard was that bricks were being thrown and somehow people were dismantling them from the bathrooms, which seems very unlikely and impossible. And from what I saw, nothing was actually thrown at them, but there was the police car that was across the street where they were using the loudspeaker, and they just kept repeating, and it just kept getting more like it was just this impending doom was coming, and they just kept saying, we can, you know, we're going to decide that this is unlawful. If you continue to do this, you will like be arrested. But nothing was happening. People were literally standing there. And
it just kind of shifted.
And it just it shifted. And you felt that, like, you just felt like it was coming. And it doesn't matter how the protesters were acting, even when they were just standing and being peaceful. And even when they were defending themselves from, say, the other people who were gathering that were pro-Trump and shouting things at them, they were still, you know, holding their cool, maybe responding. But that seems, I guess, maybe threatening. And what seems really scary and intimidating about going out and like practicing your right to protest just to have the cops kind of turn on you and decide they're going to arrest you or corner you or that you've done something wrong, even when you're doing all of the right things.
Now, what were some of the stories you heard then from the people who came into the medical tent and needed attention, especially from tear gas?
I heard a lot of trying to protect other people that look like they might have been getting hurt. So, for instance, someone climbing up to see, like, have a better view, and then the cops trying to pull that person down and being very aggressive, and those people stepping in and being like, you don't have to be that aggressive. And then cops deciding, like, oh no, now you're threatening us, so this is okay for us to now try to harm you, arrest you. And just people trying to move out quickly, but also trying to carry people who had been hurt. And so it was kind of shocking.
They were attacked by the police, but
with the tear gassing and just trying to be supportive of each other and having to be like separated, and kind of it almost felt like they were being chased down, you know, and the fact that they were like cornered and people just trying to like hide out in like a parking garage and them shooting up in there. I think they were, I don't know what they were shooting exactly. It wasn't like actual bullets, but
rubber bullets is what I've heard.
And a lot of people were hit and came to the tent just showing us, you know, really big welts and everything. And it was everyone who was on the anti-Trump side.
There were no casualties from the protests.
I mean, at least we didn't get any of those people from like over to our medic tent, but it seemed that it was a lot of the people who had just come to stand in solidarity.
Now, one thing I heard, speculation is that I think it happened about 3:30, and it was the police were trying to clear out Chapman Square.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you described as things changing in an instant.
Yeah.
Of course, the official police story is projectiles were being thrown at them, including these mythical bricks, apparently.
Yeah.
but what I heard was the pro-Trump group had kind of painted themselves into a corner, didn't know how to leave, and the police might have been creating an incident to give these people an escape route. Again, speculation, but did you hear anything to support
that? I actually didn't realize that at the time that they were surrounded, essentially, by anti-Trump protesters. And someone had come over and basically described him as like, I actually don't know how they're going to get out because they're completely surrounded. And then there were more people who were saying, yes, we think that this happened, so that they were able to leave. And then because their permit was coming to a close, which seems really ridiculous when they could have just been escorted through the crowd by the police that were there to protect
them. Ridiculous if that was actually the case, if the police actually had to fire on defenseless protesters.
Mm-hmm. It seems very some unnecessary violence that happened where you're not actually allowed to defend yourself against the police because they are the police and they're allowed to come at you and be aggressive and cause you harm and you can't do anything about it, which is kind of like what we were preparing for in our support area and at the medic tent, where it was like, we were kind of holding our breaths. We're like, wow, everything's going really well. When is it not going to go well? We were just waiting just because history has proven in the last few months, every time there is a protest, that it turns extremely violent. And it's not the protesters that are violent. It is our police.
One very big exception, and it was an event that you helped organize and was extremely successful, the Women's March, where we had about 100,000. I was there, and it seemed extremely peaceful. I didn't know of any incidents. Why do you think events like this? Well, of course, we have the two opposing sides. The Women's March, if there was an opposing side, they weren't very visible. I was wondering, why do you think events like this end in violence and the Women's March was so successful and peaceful?
I think that the Women's March was successful because it was essentially a parade. It wasn't a protest. We weren't. You know, I keep saying, like, I would always tell people after, we weren't disrupting anything. We were trying to get a point across that, you know, women, femmes and non-binary people who assign female at birth, you know, we want our rights. That's really important. But the people that attended that predominantly were middle class white women. And they are not seen as a posing threat in the same way as activists who say they block up, or there are black people who are really angry and vocal. I had to work with the police a lot with the Women's March, and that was really hard because I don't believe in having a police presence at protests, but I'm also a person of color. And a lot of white women who wrote in said that they really wanted a police presence because of children. And so it was just a different dynamic where they felt safe because of the police being there. And the police also don't feel like these women are a threat in the same way that they feel like activists who are showing up and demanding that they change their behaviors. So I think that the Women's March wasn't a protest. It was, it was a parade. And what happened yesterday was a protest of people coming to speak in our city that were spewing hatred, and us showing up and being like, no, that's not what Portland stands for.
I wanted to get, we have about a minute and a half or so, but I wanted to ask one more personal question, and you kind of were leading into it. You're a well-known Portland activist, having helped organize the Women's March, a black woman, and you mentioned a mother.
Yes.
So I wondered, attending a pro-Trump rally by predominantly white supremacists on the other side, were you concerned for your safety?
I was. That's very impossible to not be. But at this point, I'm concerned for my safety, even if I'm in spaces with just white people who identify as liberals. I would almost rather have a white supremacist look me in the eye and tell me that they don't like me than to have a white liberal pretend that they're not racist.
Go with the honesty on that.
Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, and Margaret, one last question. How can KBOO listeners kind of follow up on the reports that you made yesterday and connect with you on future protests?
I am on Facebook. You can just find me, Margaret Jacobson, and Twitter, Marge Jacobson, and also on Instagram. I also post a lot of my writing and just a lot of the activist work that I'm doing there as well.
Oh, Margaret, again, thanks very much for coming
for
and reporting
me.
On
you
that.
You guys are great.
We've been talking with Margaret Jacobson, Portland-based activist, writer, and photographer, who was there in the thick of the rallies and protests yesterday in downtown Portland. Again, you can find Margaret on Facebook under Margaret Jacobson and on Twitter under the handle Marge Jacobson.